door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and for the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things that have to do with having the juiciest, most magical relationship imaginable. The music that leads us into the show this evening was created by friends of mine, Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project, and their website is L-Y-R-A, lyraproject.com. So my guest tonight is somebody that I met probably more than a year ago in a networking gathering in my area. And immediately there was the word spark comes to mind, which is pretty cool because we're going to be talking about sparks, the relationship kind. My guest is Annette Carpian, who calls herself a love coach. And we're going to be talking about how to grow, and I think growth is really important in relationships, how to grow a connected, romantic, and alive relationship. And in the case where fire may feel like it dimmed a little bit, we're going to relight it. And she is a professional certified coach with the International Coach Federation. And she is what's called a Love That Lasts relationship coach. And she's the author of a book that's in progress called Resparking Your Marriage. Now, what she has going for her, besides the professional stuff, is that she's been married for 42 years. That gives her some credibility in my mind. So we're going to talk about how the first 20 years were not quite what she and her husband might have wanted, but how they were able to turn it around. So, Annette, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here tonight. So the first question I want to ask is, what is it like to be married 42 years? That's more than some of our listeners have been alive.
Well, you know, it's almost as if we've married different people.
Mm.
You know, it's, if I think back to, just the growth and evolution that, you know, both of us have gone through, you know, through our lives, that, you know, it's almost like we're not married to the same people.
Right.
So, but we went through a lot of the same stuff everybody else goes through. We were disconnected. We were hurting. We were, just focused on, you know, just the stuff of life, family, commuting, money, you know, all that stuff, which normally overtakes a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people get disconnected, and we got disconnected after my second son was born. I really wasn't sure I wanted to stay in this marriage. I was not really happy, and yet I discovered something really powerful.
What was that?
That even one person can shift the dynamics.
And how did you do that? How did you shift the dynamics?
Well, first to say that before I, you know, when I was really, really thinking about leaving, splitting up, even with two children, I went out and I actually found a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very, you know, this is a long time ago, and coaching wasn't a big field then, but I found somebody who helped me realize my own power to positively influence. I was mostly, I mean, not that my marriage was bad. It was not bad. It was functional. It was okay. There was no infidelity. You know, and I recognize lots of couples have, you know, all of those things going on. So ours was decent, but it just wasn't happy. You know, it was like okay. It was okay, flat, you might say.
Right.
And I recognized that I didn't have to be in victim mode. And I never realized that I was. It was like, well, why isn't he? Why won't he? You know, it was like all the focus was on him and all the things he wasn't doing and all the ways he wasn't romantic and all, you know, all the things that were wrong with him. And suddenly I realized, oh, my God. And I actually, you know, discovered this actually in coaching. I never would have thought of myself as a victim. But yet I was living as if I had no power to, you know, to bring more love and intimacy and connection. And so that's, you know, what I did. I started really being present rather than in my head. So every time I'd see my husband, you know, back then, you know, I would have thoughts like, you know, either judging thoughts about him or about everything that's wrong. You know, I'd be in my head a lot, and I wouldn't be present in the relationship. And suddenly I realized, oh, my gosh, what if I'm just with him? I'm connected. So I started being present in the relationship. And then I started appreciating him.
So what were some specific ways that you were present with him, and what were some specific ways that you were telling him or showing him how much you appreciated him? Because I know our listeners are going to want some tips from the expert.
So one of the things that I recognized, so this is just a little bit of background, that instead of being in my head and judgments and thoughts, and, you know, through yoga and meditation and all those spiritual teachings, you know, that's what we learn a lot about that anyway, to be in our heart, to come from a loving place. And I realized that, oh, my gosh, I practiced that, but I wasn't practicing it in my marriage very much.
Right.
And so it was like I would like massage my heart and just say, you know, let me just be present here. Let me come from a loving place instead of from a judging place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I would see him, I would then, like, you know, just really be there and to hug him and kiss him and tell him something I loved about him and apologize for all the times that I missed that and I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. And you did you notice a pretty rapid shift, or did it take a while for it to sink in?
Initially, it was like, whoa, this is nice, but there was also, I think, a certain amount of protectiveness on his part, that it was like, oh, okay, she drank something. I don't know.
You know? He wasn't quite trusting that this is genuine, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, which is very typical. When you bring new behaviors, it's like you can't let down your guard because you imagine it's going to go away pretty quickly and makes you vulnerable. So that's a typical response. And so I had to really be committed to my change. You know, before that, I was only focused on all the things he was doing wrong.
You need to do differently. Right.
Yeah.
And what I found in relationships is that it's, you know, we're taught it's 50-50. It ain't 50-50. It's 100-100. 100% you, 100% your partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about some, I don't know whether it was in the video or something that I read that you had shared, is the idea of focusing on we and not just me. You didn't use those terms, but that's what I gleaned from it, that in a relationship, it's not just about one person. It's the relationship itself as an entity that needs to be nurtured and loved and taken care of. So what are some ways that people can do that, that they can love their relationship back into vibrance if they're starting to fade a little bit? Or how can they maintain that and not lose the fire?
So they're really you know, like three major realms of that. So it's, first of all, you know, how is it that you are being? So, you know, I keep the spark alive when I'm affectionate, when I'm playful, when I'm open-hearted, when I give him the benefit of the doubt, when I bring goodwill, when I treat him like he's someone special. You know, when I can be empathetic to his struggles. You know, we all are in constant evolution. Hopefully we're in evolution, you know, and we're growing. And we all have stuff. You know, mm-hmm. There'll never be a time when we don't have something to stretch towards or to work through. And we each have our own growth and our own struggles. And so to be just, rather than judging the other person for where they're at, to be empathetic to the struggles that they have.
Mm-hmm. And is it also seeing our partner as a mirror for us, that if something's mm-hmm. coming up for them, then it may be something we need to look at as well? Have you noticed that?
Yeah. You know, when someone, one of my spiritual teachers had once said, when someone pushes your button, thank them because they're revealing to you an area of tenderness for you, an area where you need to grow. It's almost like, you know, if you have a tennis coach, you're paying that person a lot of money to show you what you need to be doing differently and showing mm-hmm. you where your weaknesses are. So mm-hmm. when you have your buttons pushed, then, you know, that's revealing something about you. Now, your partner can also be sensitive and empathetic to that, to your struggles, similar to what I was saying before. So when you said mirroring, tell me more about exactly what you're referring to.
That they're a mirror for you. I was thinking about this today. What we don't like in others is unresolved in ourselves. If there's something whether it's a romantic relationship, a parent-child, a coworker, a friend, even a stranger, you know, if something kind of grates at you, what is it in me, something grates at me, what is it in me that I'm doing, even if it's not the exact same behavior, but the essence of the behavior? So that's what I was referring
yeah.
to.
Yeah, 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 very true. There's... whatever is unresolved in us will, you know, trigger us more, will have us be, you know, reactive in some way. And where what's not a trigger for us will not, we'll be able to see it with more, I don't know, neutrality or, mm-hmm. you know, it won't provoke us. So, yeah.
But there may be a grain of truth in it that we can look at and say, okay, yeah, maybe I'm doing that a little bit, and I still want that person to change. Wouldn't it be so much easier? He or she would just do it my way. You know? So I'm sure. So as we're coming close to our break, I'm wondering how people can find you. What is your website address?
Great Relationships with an S coaching.com.
Mm-hmm. And what will they find on the website?
Oh, they will find, just some possibilities. What's possible for them in my coaching program? So I have a variety of coaching programs, and they'll see something that might be possible for them themselves and or with their partner. So
wonderful. And I like that possibility, because people sometimes feel hopeless in relationships. So you're offering them possibility and opportunity is what I'm hearing. That's
yeah,
marvelous.
And maybe after the break I'll tell you some stories about that.
Oh, yes. That would be great.
Okay.
So I will catch you on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Thanks.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
Only you.
It's all about relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I'll be with you every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.vividlife.me. Join me and a growing gathering of friends worldwide.
Ignite the new year with the new you at Sedona World Wisdom Days. Expand your wisdom with some of the world's greatest thinkers and spiritual visionaries of our time. The festival begins with legendary television producer Norman Lear, visionary icon Barbara Marx Hubbard, India Arie, and her Songversation performance, and many more amazing presenters. There's a special seat waiting just for you. Reserve it now by visiting SedonaWorldWisdom.com.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is love coach Annette Carpian. And we were talking about ways of juicing up the relationship. And during the break, Annette, you were telling me two couples, that were able to revive their relationship. Can you share a little bit about those?
Yeah. In fact, just yesterday, I got just such a heartwarming testimonial, I guess you'd say. I worked with a couple for 8 weeks. They were trying to heal from an affair, and they were pretty sure they wanted to heal from it, but it seemed so enormously difficult because they had been so disconnected before. And, you know, that was really to a large degree about why the affair happened on his part. And they went from so much, she having so much pain about the affair, but really knowing, understanding that she had a role. You know, it was really life got in the way. And lots of disconnection. And so anyhow, through my program, my 8-week program, they have come through. I mean, the journey's not over, the healing's not over, but it's like when you have some crisis that can either, you know, have you totally fall apart, or the other possibility is that you heal from it and become better than you ever were before. And so they are so much more romantic with each other now. I just have goosebumps when I hear them.
Mm-hmm. So congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
you.
It's marvelous. It's nice to have some recognition that you do good stuff, that that the work is rewarding. Absolutely. And then the other story you were sharing.
Yeah. I was working with just him. I'll call him John. He was very, desperate to save his marriage. His wife seemed to really disconnect from him, really pushing him away and trying so hard everything, you know, and everything he was doing was pushing her just further away. And so we started working together really almost a year ago. Initially, and he shifted. She wasn't interested in the coaching whatsoever, and he realized all the ways that he needed to grow. Mm-hmm. And the way he had been being, he saw how he contributed to her pushing him away. And so he went through just such wonderful growth where he could be really calm now. He could be consistent, connected with her. And it really shifted the dynamic between them, where she began to trust him enormously and see the growth that, now she didn't go through as much growth, but he did. And it shifted the dynamics enormously to the point where he realized, you know what, I don't think we should continue the relationship. And they both agreed to to split, which initially he was terrified of because his three little kids. But it's actually, he feels really the right decision. She's moving right down the block from him, and they're so committed to their kids doing well. So, you know, I was such a stand for that marriage to work until, you know, he decided otherwise. Mm-hmm. And he's decided otherwise, yeah.
And sometimes the idea of a marriage ending is what's best for the children. You know, we heard growing up, and maybe even now, people say, well, I stayed together for the sake of the children. Sometimes for the sake of the children, the marriage needs to end for the co-parenting and the friendship to continue. So, you know, that's not a failure if that's the decision that a couple makes. Now, you've also talked about the idea of keeping your eye on the prize, that in moments of discouragement, is that something that you've seen couples do, that whatever the prize is for them, a healthy, loving, fulfilling relationship?
Yeah.
How do people do that in the midst of discouragement?
Well, one thing is the drama, or I could say it another way, the meaning that we add to events, things that happen or that we wish would happen that aren't happening. So, for example, let's say your spouse comes home, and I'll say he. Let's say, and he walks by you, doesn't kiss you, doesn't acknowledge you, and so then you add meaning to that. That, oh, he's not attracted to me anymore. He thinks I'm too fat. There's something wrong with me, and so you're coming from a perception that, and you're making that the truth. Now, it's not impossible that that is so, but it's also, there are other possibilities. He's just worried about work. You know, something else is going on. Or he's afraid of rejection from you. He's misperceiving what's going on from you, from how you're being. So there's this dynamic of us misperceiving each other. So when we can be with what is, so the what is, oh, he came home and he did not kiss me, he did not acknowledge me, okay? And then you act with curiosity. Honey, you know, you may even say, you know, honey, I would love it when you come home if you would just kiss me and hug me or tell me what's going on with you. I would love to have a moment of connection. Or, honey, it really hurt me that you didn't hug me and kiss me when you came in.
Without reading into it, is what I'm hearing. Without just focusing on the act itself and not interpreting, not reading into it, and then acting
right,
as if your worst imagination, worst case scenario is coming to be, and you know, and letting it flow from there. Now we're coming close to the end of the interview, and I know that you've talked. So what's the best tip that you could give a couple to go from where they are to where they would love to be?
Set an intention for what you want the marriage to be. So put some words, I want it to be like my words are juicy and delicious. Connected, healthy, trusting, appreciative. I want to feel cherished. So each of you, like, write down some descriptor words, and then look at the gap between where you're at and where you want to get to, and how to bridge that gap. What can you do to go from here to there? So don't get stuck in all that's wrong. Because when you start putting in new behaviors to move towards what you want, the stuff that's not working will start dropping away.
And one of the things that I know that you and your husband do, is, as you've mentioned to me before, is that you have activities. You dance. And that's what you do. Even if somebody has two left feet, even if you stand, you know, my parents used to dance in the kitchen. My father had two left feet. But that's one of my fondest memories of them dancing in the kitchen. So, you know, shared activities, even if you don't have all of the same interests, I'm guessing if you pick one thing that you love to do together, that could light up the marriage. And then I hear that you're going on a cruise very shortly.
Right. It's a Valentine's.
So romantic.
Yeah. It's a Valentine's Day Spirit of Love cruise.
Ooh, where are you going? So we can all live vicariously. Where's the cruise taking you?
We're going
you?
To the Mexican Riviera.
Oh, sounds marvelous. Wear sunscreen. I think that will be fun. And you had shared that your book is coming out in April.
Tell
us the name of the ebook. So.
Yeah. Exactly the same title, Resparking mm-hmm. Love and Aliveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and is this for couples who are married or just committed or anybody who wants a committed relationship? I mean, you don't have to be married to read the book.
Well, quite honestly, it's even for singles or anybody mm-hmm. because the aliveness part, we can just apply to our own lives. How much, mm-hmm. how many of us just feel coping with life or dead inside, just going through the motions? It's about bringing forth aliveness in your own life, which is absolutely going to affect your relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's about bringing that aliveness and spark back to your marriage or your relationship.
Marvelous. Once again, can you tell people how they can find you?
Yes. GreatRelationshipsCoaching.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my phone number, I would be happy mm-hmm. to talk to somebody who's interested in actually making forward momentum, 610-428-2755.
Mm-hmm. And even though you're in Pennsylvania, and I imagine you work with people all over the world via Skype.
All over the world, yep.
Perfect. That sounds great. Thank you so much for this evening. And I look forward to running into you eventually again, whether we're networking event or we just happen to grab a cup of tea together. It would be lovely. So thank
lovely.
You so much, and enjoy the cruise. Have a marvelous
thank
time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, folks, next week my guest is Tommy Rosen, who wrote a book called Recovery 2.0. And what it's about is upgrading your recovery, whatever the addiction is. Tommy is a recovering addict and alcoholic, and his book, which I just finished reading, speaks about that, about ways of upgrading your recovery. So he will be our guest next week. And until next week, I am so grateful that you're here with us. I thank you. I bless you. I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here.
Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Ignite the new year with the new you at Sedona World Wisdom Days. Expand your wisdom with some of the world's greatest thinkers and spiritual visionaries of our time. The festival begins with legendary television producer Norman Lear, visionary icon Barbara Marx Hubbard, India Ari and her Songversation performance, and many more amazing presenters. There's a special seat waiting just for you. Reserve it now by visiting SedonaWorldWisdom.com.